Wake up.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, Monday. How are you? Happy you had a good weekend. All right, so the Combine. It was a winners and losers of the Combine kind of weekend because we like to do this. We like to overanalyze. But I don't go down that road. Listen, I'll do winners and losers of different sporting events, different moments, draft, and stuff like that. But I won't do it for the Combine. And the reason I won't do it for the Combine is because these are really events. These are, you know, people running and lifting weights and running drills. And every single general manager and scout that was in attendance in Indianapolis is going to analyze all of that differently. And they're going to put that all in process to their needs. Now, we can project that because a person ran an unexpectedly good time in the 40 that he was the winner of the weekend, or somebody did something really amazing in the cone drill or whatever it was, right? Or somebody, the buzz about a certain quarterback or the buzz about a certain running back really, you know, carried its way through the weekend. But to me, the proof is always later, right? The proof is going to come in a couple of weeks when we get to the NFL draft of the month at the end of April. That is when, to me, we'll sort all of this kind of stuff out. But it's still, it just goes to show you again, the primetime schedule, people want to eat this stuff up. There is no offseason in the NFL. And look, when you combine that with the XFL, whose numbers are declining, but they're still somewhat respectable. They're not tanking. They're just not as good as week one. This is really a crazy football country. We know that. But to me, again, over-analysis of the Combine, as much as we want to do it, because look, we see it being consumed as a product. We see it being analyzed by a lot of people. There's plenty of media there to put a spin on everything that they saw within the workouts. But at the end of the day, every single one of those athletes is being evaluated as to what they will bring to the table to a team. And that is going to come at the end of April. So I'm not going to get too worked up over it. But again, it was another one of those weekends where we celebrate football. But coming up next, college basketball. We are now in March, so the countdown towards the tournament is just very, very short. But who's hot? Who's not? College basketball. As I caught some things over the weekend, it was really helping me process my own version of bracketology, even if there is such a thing. Next.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And I'm glad you could be with us here on SB Nation AM here on a Monday. Hope you had a good weekend. So guess what? The calendar turned into March all of a sudden. I mean, where are we going? How fast is this flying by? I mean, it felt like we just celebrated the new year. Now we're into March, and you know what that means. We're going to get closer and closer to basketball, bracket time. Conference tournaments are going to, though, hit pretty soon. There's going to be a couple this week for some of the smaller conferences, and then we got the big ones coming up the week after. And then, of course, the tournament, Selection Sunday on the 15th. So this weekend, on Saturday night, I was chilling out. Saturday afternoon, I was chilling out. We were in company to my house, and so I was making dinner for a little dinner party at the house. And I had some time, you know, before I was going to start the meal. And I was watching Kentucky against Auburn. And listen, I like watching SEC basketball. I'm an SEC guy. I find a lot of SEC hoops not as good as all the obviously other conferences. This year has kind of been like that. But Kentucky's been a team that over the past couple of years, if I were to tell you any year, right, if I say any year, hey, man, I think Kentucky has a great chance of winning the championship. Yeah, what a hot take that is. Kentucky always has a good team. John Calipari recruits excellent players. He puts them together very, very well. He usually has a team that is very capable of winning a championship. They don't always win a championship. But I haven't always liked John Calipari's teams on the national scale. Right. There have been plenty of times where I didn't think there have been a couple of times I didn't think they were the best team in the SEC. I liked Auburn a lot last year, and I was glad they proved me right by making a Final Four run. But there have been plenty of times that I have not been nationally impressed with Kentucky. That doesn't mean, you know, in the SEC, I haven't liked what they've done or what their record indicates and all of that. But, you know, against, when I look at them against other teams in college basketball, there have been times where I found some flaws where I went, I'm not really high on Kentucky in this tournament. But watching them Saturday against Auburn, it is time for me at least to pay more attention to Kentucky. Because listen, I've been all about some other teams across the country. I'm a big Seton Hall guy. I think Seton Hall is going to go to the Final Four unless they're in some crazy bracket region, I should say, that puts them up against just impossible teams, you know, game in and game out, if they get a really, really tough draw, let's say. But overall, I have kind of looked beyond the Wildcats until Saturday. I know they're good. I know they've been in the top 10. I know they're on top of the SEC. They've been battling it out with both Auburn and LSU for the top spot of that conference. They'll go to Nashville and they'll probably win the SEC tournament. They tend to do that every year. But I have looked at this Kentucky team a little differently, and now it's time for me to change my tune. I think this is national championship good. I really like Emmanuel Quickly. I really like Tyrese Maxey. I really like Tyrese Maxey a lot. And I think John Calipari has done a really remarkable job of calming everything down from the initial hysteria that his team went through when they lost at home to Evansville, which, by the way, is a crazy awful loss for any top tier program, because Evansville, in case you are not paying attention, the Aces didn't win a conference game all year. They did not win a conference game all season, and yet they beat Kentucky. Now, that happens sometimes in November, especially in Calipari's case, because he's got kids that he's trying to work together. There's really no continuity. He's not senior-laden, right? He doesn't have a team that's coming back to make another run. He brings in new faces all the time. He's got to get that to work in gel. Sometimes it doesn't work out. You don't lose to Evansville, and you should never lose to Evansville, but it also doesn't mean that you don't have a hiccup or two. They beat Michigan State at the beginning of the season when Michigan State was number one in the nation, and they've had great wins this year. They beat Louisville, and since January, they've only lost twice, and once was to South Carolina on a buzzer beater. So look, he is really putting together a team that, even though they're running through an SEC that's not the strongest conference by any means, there's an eye test here. Right, whether it's Nick Richards, Tyrese Maxey, who I mentioned earlier, Ashton Hagans is a very good player, and I really liked how they beat a very good Auburn team, and I've liked Auburn all year. So it's time for me to look at Kentucky a little differently. Listen, like I said, I've been on Seton Hall. I think Gonzaga's got a team that can run deep, of course. I've liked Baylor despite their troubles of late. But Kentucky is now going to be on my list. Again, depending on the draw, depending on how they get put in the bracket, because you know how sometimes this works. There's always that one region where you're like, wow, how in the world did the committee stuff six excellent, excellent championship level teams in one region? And sometimes it's just too difficult to see a clear path for some of the one or two or three seeds. Kentucky, on a couple of people's bracketology projections, Kentucky has been a four seed along the lines, right? Again, this is a team that's got some really good wins against some quality opponents, but they got some bad losses early in the season. But again, racing through this SEC schedule like they have, and playing very good basketball at the moment, I now think they've got some big things coming up. But this is where the analysis is going to start happening when you talk about bubble teams too. I mean, UCLA is on the uprise. I mean, they were a team in a absolute lost situation at the beginning of the year. They started 1-3 in conference play. Now they're making a very good run towards making themselves a known commodity, both in the Pac-12. They've got a sweep over Colorado, and Colorado is an outstanding basketball team. There's a very good team out of the Pac-12. Mick Cronin's done a good job with this Bruins team turning it around. That's the good thing about college basketball. The regular season is a devalued product because there's so many many games, and the tournament is so big and vast, and you can pretty much get in with a decent run in your conference. But what I like about it is it does allow you a few hiccups. It does allow you to sort of correct the ship if things aren't right. And in a sport where one and done is really the top of the line level of conversation that we talk about when in terms of how college basketball is played, where it's, you know, we get one and done or two and done. You need that because, as I mentioned earlier with Kentucky, sometimes you don't have everybody on the same page. Sometimes you don't have everything kind of flowing together, and you need some games to get under your belt. You need to find a starting lineup that works well together. You need to find a system that does enhance some of your strengths and minimize your weaknesses, and sometimes it takes a while. And in that process, you lose games you shouldn't, and unfortunately, that's just kind of the nature. College football is the best regular season in all of it because you're really not allowed to make a mistake at all. And if you make one, you better hope other people make one too. Otherwise, you're going to be left out of the four-team tournament. But in college basketball, because we are looking for so many at-large schools, we're going through all the conferences, if you're catching fire late, that's excellent. Right? That's excellent. It's too bad, too, because look at Rutgers. Rutgers is a perfect example of this. Rutgers was not only a lock to get into this tournament a few weeks ago, they look like they could get a really nice seed, but they've struggled of late. It is better to be Nick Cronin in UCLA and move into this tournament on a hot streak, catch people on fire, right? And all of a sudden, impress, because the selection committee is looking at you. Rutgers, on the other hand, they're starting to lose some games. Not only are they losing games, they're falling by the wayside. And I mean, look, I still think they get in, but I also know they're in a little bit of trouble. And it's, like I said, it's better to get moving, moving forward than looking back. So, again, we are still a week away from conference tournaments. We're going to be wrapping up the regular season for a lot of conferences this week. Some of the conferences have already wrapped up their regular season, but this is the time where you really want to start paying attention. Who's hot? Who's going into these conference tournaments? How much of a bubble are they really? And where the selection committee is going to go on March 15th when they finally make the bracket complete. All right. Again, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that's Ron with two N's, or 800-224-2004 is the number. Coming up, television money just got ridiculous. That's next on SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, have a car problem but don't know where to go? Maybe you're not close to home when your car breaks down. Let O'Reilly Auto Parts help with O'Reilly Auto Parts Shop Referral Program. Take the guesswork out of finding a great shop wherever you are. Call an O'Reilly location near you or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. Click Find a Repair Shop to find a reputable repair facility or service center for your repairs. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. So, I said television money is getting insane. Did you see Tony Romo, $17 million?
That's a nice
CBS.
That's a nice paycheck.
Listen, I'm telling you guys, listen, you athletes out there, you give me some advice. Learn to speak on television. You can carry your career so far and continue to make that mad money you're so used to. Don't worry about your NFL pension or try to make all those dollars that you made in the 7 or 8 years you were in the league stretched for a lifetime. Don't worry about it. Just learn how to speak on TV and talk football, and they'll pay you a truckload of money to your house every single year. And they tell me the bubble is going to burst.
It makes me wonder how much Espen was willing to pony up.
Yeah, oh, I was wondering the same thing. Yeah, exactly.
For him to get to the 17 million mark. I mean,
17 million.
What was he making last year?
Oh, I don't know. That's a good question. That's a good question. Maybe 10?
That's what I was thinking, 10.
Yeah.
And maybe Espen was like,
they don't even want him to do anything like golf or any other thing. They're just like, talk football, that's all we care about. Do your NFL and go.
We need you 5 months out of the year.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Isn't it weird, though, that the way, because, listen, I grew up wanting to be a play-by-play announcer. I went to school for it. I went to broadcasting, I took broadcasting at university. And I remember as I was getting started in the business, you know, they would always say, look, in the end, you know, unless you're on radio and you're the only means of communication, in the end, you know, you're kind of secondary. Like the game is first, the people watching, you know, you provide flavor, but you're not the main ingredient, right? But TV always looks at the analyst job and says, that is really the main ingredient. And I, like, how many of you are, CBS will put Nance and Romo on the premier game that they have every single week. And yet, people love watching Romo do his thing, even though they'd watch that game anyway.
Yeah.
Even though it doesn't matter who the analyst is, they'll watch that game anyway.
Yeah, because they have the marquee AFC game.
Right. So for CBS to pay $17 million, it is just... And listen, I'm not trying to diminish his value in terms of broadcasting ratings, but that was just a ploy to keep him at CBS so that somebody else didn't grab him. I mean, it became a bidding war of pride, really. We've hired Romo. We made him the number one seat the second he got into broadcasting. We kicked Phil Simms out so we could put Romo in this seat without really knowing if it was going to work out or not, except for a couple of test runs between the two. And then it worked. Not only did it work, it worked beyond our wildest dreams. Now we've got ESPN. They're knocking on the door. They want him for Monday Night Football. They're willing to, you know, pay even more money. And we're not going to let him go. He's our project. So we're going to give him 17. But it's not like it's not like a television show where, like, if I watch The Big Bang Theory and it gets great ratings, all of those actors should make money because I'm watching because they're acting in a show. I watch football for football. I don't watch football because Nance is doing the game or Romo's doing the game or Booger McFarlane is doing the game. I don't care who's doing the game. I'll watch it no matter who's doing the game. Yet, at the same time, you keep these people in your employment by paying them the most money when everybody's chasing them.
Well, it's enjoyable to listen to, too.
Sure. Yeah, it's absolutely enjoyable.
And that's the rub here because, I mean, yeah, you're absolutely right. We would just watch football just to watch football.
Sure.
You know, and it's the best game the AFC is putting out that weekend, and that's what we're going to watch. And, I mean, I don't know, is Nance getting slighted here? Jim Nance?
Nance?
Yeah, I mean, is he in the $17 million a year mark?
Or, I don't know. That's funny. He's got a house at Pebble Beach, so,
yeah,
you know.
I mean, if he's making $17 million, is he looking back at his contract going, okay, wait, Romo's only working 5 months. I'm doing everything else?
I have to do NCAA basketball. I go to the Masters. I'm, you know, whatever it is Nance does in the summertime.
Although I believe Nance would do the Masters for free.
I would do the Masters for free. That's great. What a great perk that is.
Can he get a green jacket? Can he get honorary?
Yeah.
They should, right?
I don't know. They take it real seriously there.
Come on. It's like an honorary doctorate.
There's a famous story of Tom Watson. When you win the Masters, you become a member at Augusta National, which means you can play there anytime because you're defending. When you qualify for the Masters, here's something a lot of people don't know. When you qualify for the Masters, the second you qualify, right? Let's say you win the U.S. Amateur. All right, and so you're a young kid, you win the U.S. Amateur. The moment you qualify for the Masters, Augusta National is open to you at any point that you want to go and play. So you can go there a week after you qualified for the tournament to start practicing. You can go there anytime you want. If you win the Masters, you always qualify for the Masters for the rest of your life. Therefore, you can always go there. But you can't bring guests. You're not a member like that. And Tom Watson, one time when he was young, he won the Masters. He brought like a couple of people with him to Augusta, and they turned him away. They said, sorry, you're going to have to find a member to vouch for these guests. You're not a member. Like, you can, these, you know, somebody eventually did, I think. But he was told, like, you don't get the super perks. Like, people pay for those super perks. But Nance gets to go whenever he wants. Like, Nance is, he's so intertwined with the committee, the master. They love him. I mean, they love him. He gets to play there anytime he wants.
Who else do you think gets exemptions? I mean,
that's a great question.
If the president of the United States said, hey, I want to come play your club, do they turn the president of the United States away?
I don't think they would. I don't think they would.
You can't, right?
No, I don't think you would.
You don't want to be there. But I mean, at the same time, it would show your exclusivity.
That's very true. If you did that, if you turned them down,
sorry.
Sorry, no.
Sorry, Mr. President, you need to find a member to vouch for you.
That's right. That's right. So, yeah, broadcast.
The Secret Service following you, don't cut it.
That's right.
We still need someone to vouch for you.
So, Frankenberry on Twitter, when has TV money not been ridiculous in the last 35 years? Yeah, that's true. But yeah, $17 million for Romo is really, really nice.
$17 million, you know, that's a million a week.
So, did Romo made, like I read somewhere where he's only had 3 years in his career where he's made more than that. I mean, obviously he's made the Uber money, but yeah, that was it. I'm telling you, these athletes, man, if you get the right, start thinking about your post career and you start thinking about what you want to do with your life. Because look, these guys are retiring at 35, 36, 37. If you have a good career, 50 years is a long time to be just sitting around the house doing nothing.
Yeah.
Right. So you got to do something. Right.
That's
you got to find some
honey-do list.
Yeah, exactly. You just, you know, and it's, you know, it's boring. I mean, I had a staycation one time and I was losing my mind. I was like, I got to do something. I was like, I can't just sit around and do nothing. So these guys, you know, could play golf every day or whatever they want to do. But some of them just go, I got to get involved in something. And you know, this is a great career to get into.
But Rubble making 17. If you look at it this way, when you have a hit TV show. Say, you know, use the Big Bang Theory. You know, those actors were making about $1 million an episode, maybe a little bit more.
Sure.
But when they hit the $1 million an episode mark, that's where you kind of know, okay, this is a hit TV show. This TV show is number one. We want this to last for a while because it's you know, just pulling in the ratings.
Yeah.
So it kind of makes sense. You're literally paying Romo $1 million an episode.
That's right. That's very true. That's very true. Why not?
And so, I mean, and it works.
And really, is what I said earlier, it listen, no, I think he's worth it. Yeah, if you're gonna pay these guys this kind of money, he's worth it. He's the best in the business. So the best in the business should get paid.
Which is kind of weird to say because it's only been 2 years.
It's only been a couple of years. I mean, he came in and did exceptionally well. Jason Witten, you can go on YouTube and find mistake after mistake mistake with Jason Witten. You can find so many blunders and just. There was one that made me laugh out loud in tears, where one guy posted where Witten actually looks at a play and he draws up where the defensive ends are coming, are creating the pressure. And he says, this guy is going to come around here and this guy's going to come around here. And then they run the play and they do the exact opposite. They go inside and create pressure internally. It's just so hysterical. But at the same time, I felt bad for him because he's trying really hard and it's just not working out and he's just not good at it. And then they go, Romo, jump right in. Yeah, here's a couple of them. Here's a couple of mistakes.
San Francisco cannot kick themselves in the foot. Plays like that. He's athletic. One of the best things he does is run after catch. New Orleans is trying to wrap up. They're not doing a very good.
And I felt that I knew they wanted to make it about the health and safety and protect these quarterbacks.
It just seems like we just went a little bit to the left wing on that, you know, with our approach of.
V brace on, hit the wrist. It doesn't matter. He pulls another rabbit out of his head.
Him here. That chip on the outside forces him to come up in the rush. He's got to see that. I know he wants to strike downfield, but he's got to have the peripheral to get it. Trevathan just gets him so right there on the right side.
Leonard Floyd, congratulations on winning the 2019 Pro Bowl. Let me present you guys with this trophy here. There you go.
Yeah, I mean, that's just hard. It's not the easiest thing to do, and he tried, and he just couldn't do it. And then here comes Romo out of retirement, and they go, here, sit in the number one seat with Jim Nance. And he's like, yeah, I'll knock this out of the park. What else you want me to do?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, no problem.
Next.
Yeah, this is not that hard. I'm just going to predict what everybody is going to do for the rest of my time here.
I mean, that's what's amazing. I mean, you know, we're playing Witten mistakes, and that's after the fact.
Right.
And Romo's getting it accurate before the play even happens.
I know. Exactly. Exactly.
It's like 17. He has Gray's Sports Almanac or something.
17. And you know what? The great thing about Romo is, you know what? When he was playing, there was so much debate about him, what kind of quarterback he was. Was he elite? Was he not elite? Could he win? Could he lead him to a championship? All of those things. And he has created himself a new image in sports because of this television gig, where we sort of go, yeah, I don't even want to talk about his playing days. He's the best analyst in TV.
We're forgetting about the field goal.
All of that. All of that. That botched snap.
Yep.
All of that stuff. Forgetting all of that because he's so good at this. That is his new future. His new image is he's the best analyst in TV, and now he's making $17 million a year. Way to go, Romo.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. We're in March now. And basketball, college basketball, NBA's in full swing. Baseball is going to be starting right around the corner. Bet Online is our exclusive sports betting partner, and you can sign up today. Receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Start betting college and pro sports. Every total, every spread, every winner or loser, you can straight bet, you can parlay, tease your way through the season, and you get those wild proposition bets. You know there's going to be a ton for the tournament. Get the fastest to market odds, updates, and payouts with our new sportsbook partners, Bet Online. Head over to the website today. Use your mobile device to join. Use promo code SBNation55. That's SBNation55. Receive your 50% welcome bonus. Bet Online, your online sports book experts. So I had the dinner party on Saturday night, and I was really trying to consume a lot of college basketball over the weekend. And my God, we're like top 25 teams going down quickly over the weekend.
That seems to be the trend right now.
Yeah. I mean,
like
Baylor.
Every weekend, it's just, okay, who's next?
Baylor lost to TCU in Fort Worth. By 3 points. And Florida State, who I've liked all year, lose on a last-second bucket by to Clemson. Duke is struggling bad. Yeah. They lost to Virginia. They've now lost three games in a short amount of time. North Carolina State, Wake Forest, now Virginia. And the Cavaliers are good, don't get me wrong, but they're not in the top 25. They're catching fire. Villanova lost to Providence, and Providence is playing good right now. They're playing their way into the tournament. This is desperation time. I was trying to explain this to my friend who seeks out gambling advice. I told him, I said, listen, this is the weird time of year, so I can't really see. Like, I was playing like I was clairvoyant, like I was a psychic. That's like, it's cloudy. The spirits, they're restless, and I can't get a clear picture of your future.
Not quite aligning.
I see apple trees. Did your family grow up with apple trees? No. Do you like apples? Yes. Oh, yep. You like apples.
How do you like them apples?
How do you like them apples? West Virginia lost at home to Oklahoma. Wow. Texas beat Texas Tech.
All right. I'm not going to say that maybe teams are throwing games because obviously you would hate to think that that's what's happening, but it's almost better sometimes to have a loss now. I mean, obviously better to have a loss now than, a month from now.
I think it's kind of
weeks in from now.
I think it is. There are teams where the season got away from them early, and now they found something that works, and they're desperate. They want to enhance their resume, and they're really putting out an effort against teams that may be just looking ahead to close out the season. And I'm not saying they're, being lazy or whatever, but I'm saying, like, if you're West Virginia and you're home and you're pretty good, you're pretty solid, you've been in the top 25 all year despite some recent struggles. Here comes an Oklahoma team that if they're going to get in, they're going to need to make a run. I mean, a real run. Yeah. I mean, they're not even, I don't think anybody even has them as a bubble team. So they find something that's been working and they go out and they go, look, we got to start getting some quad one victories. So we're going to have to put everything on the table and go out there and treat this like a do or die type of situation. I think Texas is doing that because Texas, you go back to their season and their season was a mess. And now they've gotten really good late. Shaka Smart's done a very good job of corralling that team and putting that team together in the last couple of weeks, making some nice runs, beating some top teams. They beat number 22 Texas Tech. Same with Villanova. Providence is a bubble team that's trying to force their way in. They're a very, very tough Big East, and they're playing very well right now. They needed to make a show in Philadelphia. They got that victory against Villanova. And I think if you're like Virginia, let's say, you're not in the top 25, but you're probably going to get in the tournament no matter what. But, you're playing good right now, and Duke isn't playing good, so you capitalize on it. But I think desperation is really what's at hand here. And it's really hard when you get a team that's desperate, especially when they care about an outcome more than you care about an outcome. That's when things like that will happen. I think if you're Baylor, listen, I don't fault Baylor for losing this game. I mean, they've been on cruise control all year, and they lose to Kansas by 3 points in a very tight game in Waco that could have gone either way. Okay. And then they get upset by TCU. They were bound to lose a few games before the Big 12 tournament. I'm surprised it didn't happen sooner. Right. So I think that's kind of where we're at. I was talking about this earlier. I'm starting to pay attention to Kentucky. I really like them against Auburn over the weekend. I really like the way they played.
It's funny because they're one of those teams that always seems to be, either they'll have the hottest team in the country. When I remember going back to the Anthony Davis team, Anthony Davis, like Michael Carter Williams, a couple other cats, where five of them were drafted in the first round. And you have those teams, or you have the team that may have a star or two, but they're all freshmen or sophomores, and they're just kind of quiet for most of the year. And then when they get to the tournament time, it's like, okay, you can't count these guys out.
Oh, that was the case in 2014. They did not have a very good season, but they caught fire late. They made a run in the SEC tournament and they lost to Florida. They got to the tournament. Oh, maybe it was 2013. It was one of those years. But they got into a weird region, because they got into a region where they were an 8 seed. And people lost their mind because they're like, wait a minute, hold on, committee.
Yeah.
You may not like their season as a whole. You may not like a lot of early losses and the way they looked. But they've been really playing great lately. And you gave them an 8 seed? Come on, this is a 4 seed. I know the record really doesn't match it, but let's use some common sense here. So they were going up against Louisville and Michigan and Wichita State. They played Wichita State in round 2 and beat them. And it was like, why should Wichita State play Kentucky as an 8 seed? The other 8 seeds were like middle of the road Big Ten teams, right? Maybe the second tier Big Ten teams. And Kentucky was an 8 seed, as loaded as they were with talent.
And that's what we kind of have right now.
Yep. And they made it to the final. They made it to the finals. They lost to UConn. They made it to the finals. Right. And I said this earlier. To me, there have been times, look, it's not a hot take to say Kentucky is good. Everyone knows Kentucky's good. It's not a hot take to say they'll win the championship. They have potential to win a championship every year. But I have had plenty of years with Kentucky where I've not liked them, where I've just said, I just don't trust them. I don't like the way they're playing. I don't like the way they're looking. There's something about this team that doesn't work with me. I don't, whatever it is. And I've not picked them, and I've had them kind of go out by the Sweet 16 or the Elite Eight, and they've usually done that. But then there are other times where I've said, look, Calipari knows what he's doing, and this team is now gelling. And I think this is one of them. And you watch. As soon as I say that, they'll probably be upset in round 2 or something. I don't know. It's got to be so hard. I can't imagine John Calipari's job. Every year, the amount of talent that comes in and out, like a revolving door, of not knowing exactly, like every year is a different obstacle.
Yeah.
Whereas well, other...
And a different set of expectations. Like he's got to... I mean, that's almost an impossible position, because he's got to do it with a brand new team. Like
all the time.
Expectation is you got to do this with a brand new team year after year after year.
Yep.
There's a difference. Like when you have other teams where you can get a guy to stay there, say maybe 3 years, because some of these top schools, they don't get seniors anymore. But he's got to do it with freshman and sophomore year after year after year. I mean, I know they're paying him a lot. What is he at? He has a lifetime contract.
Oh, yeah, but you're right. The job is tough because the expectation doesn't change. Like you cannot go into this like a preseason. At Kentucky, you can't go into a preseason a press conference and say, guys, it's going to be a struggle. We lost a lot of good players. We do have some young guys that can step up, but when you lose, blah 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 blah, like other coaches can. Right. The other coaches that are just not these one and done, two and done factories where there is maybe teams that have some seniors, but where you go and say, look, guys, last year we were a veteran unit. That veteran leadership propelled us to an Elite Eight appearance. We lost a lot of that talent. We do have some young players. It should be an exciting season, but my expectations are obviously not as high. He can't get away with saying that ever, in Lexington, ever.
I think a good example, we can look at Jim Boeheim. I mean, Syracuse has a tradition of excellence when it comes to college basketball. But we're not at all you know, surprised that Jim Boeheim may be struggling this year.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's Syracuse is probably a tough recruit now, where before it was probably easy, but, you know, it's like TV money and all that fun stuff. Exposure is like, okay, well, Syracuse. You know, what's going on in Syracuse that could make that could entice a young basketball star, you know, any doing, you're getting his name out there, which is basically what he wants. And so if Jim Boeheim has a down year like he has this year, you know, surprising to a point, but we're like, okay, you know, kind of makes sense. We can excuse it. Kentucky, you know, we expect them to be in the Final Four every single year.
All the time. They do too. Look, I've said this many, many times, and it bears repeating. There is nothing, I have never seen anything in my sporting career, maybe with the exception of a few Steeler road games, I haven't seen anything like Big Blue Nation when they descend on a place. When they bring their army to whatever location it is, whether it's Atlanta for the SEC tournament or Nashville for the SEC tournament or a road game. They played Vanderbilt not that long ago, and they were fans camped outside Memorial Gym in Nashville at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Was Ashley Judd with them? Because that's what really matters.
We want
her to be camped out.
And the great thing about her is, what I love about her is she knows the team.
Yeah, you know, she's just a fan.
Yeah, she's just not like, oh, I grew up in Kentucky, so I guess I'm supposed to like the school. Yeah. Go Cats! Like you see with other actresses or musicians or whatever,
yep.
Where they just sort of latch on to them.
Or they only come around when it's championship time.
When it's championship time. They wear the jersey and they're like, yeah, man, I grew up in Georgia, and those Bulldogs, man, they're going to beat Alabama this weekend. Woo! Ashley, you can sit down and you can have a conversation about it, and she will say, like, well, Tyrese Maxey, when he goes to his left, he's just not as strong. He just needs to get better on that. Or the rebounding of this team needs to get better. I just am really, really, really concerned about being out rebound. Like, she knows the team. She says she watches the game on TV. She'll turn down the volume. She'll turn up the Kentucky radio broadcast to get it to match with the television. She loves that. She loves the voice of Kentucky basketball. She is a huge fan and knows the team, and she can handle it with the best of them. She's the best of them. And, you know, every time I go to the SEC tournament in Nashville, when it's been there, I look for her because I'm a fan. You know, what can I say? I'm a fan.
Yeah.
But you know,
of her
basketball knowledge. Right. But yeah, but again, you're right about Calipari. He just, there's no rest. There's no, hey, this is where he brings him in, brings him out, and he's got to constantly take that unit, gel them together quick, and get a run in the tournament.
And it's different when it's, you know, say if he was constantly bringing in juniors or seniors.
Sure,
I mean, he's taking kids straight from high school and saying,
right,
hey, I'm going to thrust you on the biggest stage you've ever played on.
Yep.
There's going to be more expectation on you. You're going to hear it from fans when you lose a game that you should have won.
Yeah.
And you're going to hear it when you lose to a team that – maybe we should have lost to.
Yeah.
There's no gray area. We're expected to go 30-0 or 32-0 every single season.
You know, they lost to Evansville this year. Evansville didn't win a conference game at all. They went like 0-16 or whatever it was in their conference. I think it's the Missouri Valley. I'm not sure. But I mean, they had a horrific year. I mean, the Purple Aces had a terrible season. But the one thing they have is they beat Kentucky. They beat Kentucky. They only beat Kentucky. They beat them in Lexington at Rupp Arena, which is never supposed to happen. Never. I mean, they don't even want it in the good SEC teams. Like when Florida was good and Auburn was good and, you know, anybody else that's having a decent season. Arkansas had been good a couple of years. They don't like it when it happens, you know? So nevertheless. All right. Again, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's, as we continue on a Monday on SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM on a Monday. This hour of SB Nation Radio presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Big Mac, Romo to CBS. I'll be playing in a golf pro-am this weekend. If I make the cut, I won't be in win for work. The charm life. That's true. Romo gets to play golf, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, if I make the cut, I mean, I can't do.
Well, you got to.
I mean, what are you going to do, right? I mean, you know, made the cut.
Then you can put the positive spin on it. I'll cover it from the green.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Just put a mic on me.
Romo. Seriously, man. He literally is living the good life now. Seriously. Yeah, listen, being the Cowboys quarterback is... It's one of those positions where he's talking. It's like center field for the Yankees, you know.
Well, we
Notre Dame coach, right? We remember them all, right?
I mean, you know, maybe
it's the premier quarterbacking job in the country.
Maybe there's a few years like in between Aikman to Romo years.
Yeah, well, there was a couple of guys in and out.
Yeah, we don't really remember, but once you become that main figure, you're an icon forever.
I know. It's great.
Like, name me all the Vikings quarterbacks.
Great point. That's exactly right. And now Romo is one of the top. You know, please tell me they'll never. Please. They'll never change the Madden game to Romo, will they?
No.
Never, right?
No. Okay, but they might have Romo's voice featured.
Yeah, they should.
Maybe they'll do. Maybe they'll give him the. What's his name? Ryan Seacrest treatment.
Oh, you know, yeah.
Dick Clark's Rockin' New Year's Eve presented by Ryan Seacrest.
Yeah, that's right. Dick Clark's New Year's Rockin' Eve with Ryan Seacrest. Madden 2034 with Tony Romo. That's right. Frankenberry, is there any other sporting event anywhere in the world that has unpaid athletes and consistently generates the hype of March Madness? No. All of the athletes of all the 68 teams generating one event, I don't think you're going to find it. No.